Big Pharmaceutical Get-Together.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Here's what we're watching today. Abbott Laboratories is buying the drug unit of Europe's Solvay in more than a $6.5 billion deal that gives Abbott full control of lucrative cholesterol treatments that it had shared with the Belgian company. Now, meanwhile, researchers this week are meeting in New York to see what may come of a possible new AIDS vaccine. They describe recent trial results in Thailand as a breakthrough. More now from reporter Joel Rose.
While the trial results are encouraging, researchers caution that any public health benefit is still years and billions of dollars away.
But there's now a proof of concept. We now know that an AIDS vaccine is possible, and it certainly makes the case for additional investments, I think, much stronger.
Marshall Warren directs the AIDS Vaccine Advocacy Coalition. He'll join dozens of scientists, vaccine makers, government officials, and philanthropic donors at a meeting this week in New York. Warren is hoping to see more investment from pharmaceutical companies. So far, he says they account for little of the $850 million a year flowing into AIDS vaccine research.
There's been very limited private sector engagement. Industry has been involved in AIDS vaccine research, but not with its own money, in large part because industry finds this science very risky, and it is very risky science.
Warren says pharmaceutical companies reduced their funding after a promising AIDS vaccine from drug maker Merck failed 2 years ago. He hopes the Thai results will have the opposite effect. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. In Asia, the trading week started on a down note. Markets shed 2 to 2.5%. Wall Street futures are higher here at home. If it holds, it'd be a rebound from a lackluster week. European shares are higher. The German DAX is up more than 1.25%. The business community in Germany is applauding the voters' decision to keep Chancellor Angela Merkel. And there's a new coalition that'll take the German parliament a little farther to the right. Let's get the latest from Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard, with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So we see the DAX is much higher. What's accounting for all that?
Shares in companies involved in the nuclear industry in particular have been rising strongly this morning because the new coalition will be pro-nuclear. It's expected to slow down and perhaps reverse the phase-out of nuclear power in Germany.
What is this new coalition party, Stephen, the Free Democrats, and how does it change the game there?
It's a party which is far more in tune with Merkel's own political philosophy. It's pro-business, market-oriented, and in favour of tax cuts and slimming down government bureaucracy. So Germany's going to have a pro-business government committed to economic reform.
And are those reforms really going to happen with all of that in the Bundestag?
Not in the short term, it seems, because, I mean, Angela Merkel is a very cautious and careful politician, but also she's constrained. I mean, she's got a very big deficit, what with all these stimulus packages. So big tax cuts are not going to happen anytime soon. And the recovery is pretty fragile. So there's a big question about how the economy will perform as the various stimulus packages come to an end. So this is not really the ideal environment in which to start bringing in big economic reform.
And we shall see. All right. Marketplace is Stephen Beard joining us from Europe, from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Appreciate it. President Obama will join First Lady Michelle Obama in Copenhagen later this week. The couple's showing support in Chicago's bid to host the 2016 Summer Olympics. The International Olympic Committee votes on Friday, and Chicago faces competition from Tokyo, Madrid, and Rio de Janeiro.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
It was a tough week last week for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. A couple of big utilities announced they were leaving the trade group, saying they don't like the chamber's opposition to a climate bill working its way through Congress. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, environmentalists and others are questioning whether the chamber's president can be an honest broker in the debate.
For more than a decade, the president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, has also served on Union Pacific's board of directors. The railroad has rewarded Donahue with stock options worth more than $1 million. And as part of his service, Donahue's agreed to abide by Union Pacific's policy on conflicts of interest. basically, directors there
may not engage in any activities or conduct that are contrary to the best interests of Union Pacific.
Pete Altman is at the Natural Resources Defense Council.
Then you have to wonder, is Mr. Donahue complying with that directive from Union Pacific and only allowing decisions that are in that company's best interests?
This matters to Altman because Union Pacific has a big stake in the climate debate. Roughly 20% of its revenue comes from hauling coal, and the company is lobbying to oppose the climate bill. But many other members of the Chamber of Commerce have taken very different positions. And Beth Young, with the independent research firm The Corporate Library, says that's problematic for Donahue.
There would always be sort of a nagging suspicion that his interests as a director of that outside corporation were influencing him in his role at the chamber.
I can tell you it's never been an issue for our membership.
David Chavern is the chief operating officer at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Our membership does not see the conflict of interest, and it's their interests that are at stake here.
But debate over the chamber's climate policy has been intense. Johnson & Johnson and Nike have both publicly criticized the chamber's stance. Then last week, two big utilities, including PG&E, actually quit the chamber because of what they said was the group's, quote, extreme rhetoric and obstructionist tactics. Beth Young says Tom Donahue clearly has a problem.
If I were in his position, I would probably see resigning from the Union Pacific Board as the cleanest way of dealing with the problem.
And if Donahue doesn't resign, Young believes the chamber should force him to. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Finally, there was a big protest last week at the Molson plant in St. John's, Newfoundland. Retired brewers don't like the idea of the company cutting back on free beer. Pensioners right now get 12 six-packs a month. But Molson plans to reduce that to 2 six-packs in January and no beer at all in 5 years. Company says the free beer costs about $1 million a year. The union rep says the brew is a taxable benefit and that the retirees are being discriminated against because of age. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.